go to Genesis chapter 24 to start. Topic, I've titled this, Indifferent of Spiritual Matters. And I was thinking about this when I read Genesis 24 recently, and I said, well, we'll take a look at it, and what does the word have to say about this? And in Genesis 24, if you'll remember, it's a record, I read this a little while ago, it's a record of Abraham getting his servant to pick a wife for his son, Isaac. I'm not going to read the whole record, just a couple of verses, but a few verses. And when he sends him out in Genesis 24, as Abraham was old and well-stricken in age, verse 1, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto thee, unto my son, of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me. And the woman knew that. And Abraham said unto him, verse 6, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, verse 7, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which he spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if she doesn't want to follow you, then you're clear of the oath. The thing that I found very interesting is that Abraham said to his servant, God's going to send an angel with you. Now, if you heard somebody say that today, what are you going to think? Right. In this case here, he tells his servant, you can send the angel with you. And he goes, great. No response, nothing. No, he didn't get all bent out of shape. What do you mean an angel? That kind of stuff doesn't happen in the world. What do you mean an angel? That's weird. No, it was accepted that as soon as he said, I'm going to send an angel with you, that's what was going to happen. He wasn't the servant here, even living in Abraham's household. He was not indifferent to spiritual matters. He understood. An angel went with him. And he goes, okay, great. Now, if you keep reading in verse 20, let's go to 37 of this chapter, when the servant does go to the house of Laban and so forth, and he tells them of his journey and his task. It says in verse 37, and my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred of my father's house. Verse 50, and Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. So his servant, no problems with it. Laban's household, no problems with it. But there was an angel involved. Now I tell you, if you were to even mention that, even to most believers today, they would say, that's a little weird. How's that? You know, it's because, you know, and I know it's a Eastern mind, the Bible was written to, I didn't understand that. But, you know, spiritual matters haven't changed. Just because it was the Eastern mind doesn't mean that things are different in the West. See, our minds should not be indifferent to the things of the Spirit. That should be our natural way of thinking. That the spiritual realm where God's Word holds reign is our natural realm. It shouldn't be an odd thought to think that an angel here could be possibly involved in a situation. And notice here, no one mentions anything about it. Except they said, this is great. This came from God. Let's get on with it. To me, it was a very interesting record. In Luke chapter 9, another record, similar record. Verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him, And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my child, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Okay, the father came to Jesus Christ and said, my son has a spirit. Okay, I probably not going to happen today. In most people in circles that we walk in. But the man knew that his child was possessed. He knew that the thing that was causing this problem was a spirit. It was a problem, a possession. That was the father cognizant of spiritual matters? Yes. He wasn't indifferent to it. He didn't make mockery of it. He didn't rename it as some psychological or psychosomatic problem. Relabel it. He said, he's possessed. Can you help me get rid of the spirit? You see, it was common. It was common understanding of spiritual matters. That has changed a lot over the last hundreds of years. Well, it oughtn't to. See, our thinking and our expectancy and our lives should be shaped by what the Word of God says and not by what people have said for generation upon generation is true or not true. In these cases, you know, an angel's going with you. That's fantastic. I'm getting an angel. An angel came and talked to Joshua. I'm going to be head of the house. Host was great. You know, here he says, my son's possessed. Can you heal him? He goes, okay, you know, here we go. Took it out. And then he was healed. See, the current world is not spiritually minded. You know, many Christians today don't even believe in spiritual matters. They don't believe there's a devil. You know, they don't necessarily believe in miracles either, or signs or wonders. Do you ever hear people talk about that? Not very openly anyway. Some do, I know. Many Christians don't believe in speaking in tongues. Is that a spiritual matter? It certainly is. Okay. So you see how the world has watered down man's expectancy of spiritual matters and the truth that is where. You know, that is what is actually behind what you see in the world, not the other way around. It's changed totally to the other way around. You know, we are all shaped, again, many, probably the high percentage of Christians don't believe in revelation. They get it confused with other things, you know, inspiration they get it confused with. You know, our lives are shaped by what we believe. If we believe in a lie, then we reap the benefits of that lie. And this is where, you know, I was thinking about the importance of what you might call propaganda in the world. And this is so important to understand, and I think we all understand it, but, you know, we're still impacted by it on a regular basis. You know, the reason, you know, the Word of God has been ripped from the center of much of Christianity, so people don't have expectancy of spiritual matters. It's just not the way it is. And the reason being, and it's such a simple, simple reason, is because you really become what you hear and what you listen to. That's really what shapes who you are and what you think and believe. You know, and I wrote down some, you know, quotes that men have made over the centuries. There's hundreds of them, but just some that I thought were kind of hit the point pretty clearly. It was Will Rogers said, "All I know is what I read in the papers." You know, and I know what he was saying. Like, essentially, your thinking is not shaped. There are no such things as, you know, physically speaking, the original thoughts. You think what you have been fed. Time, and that's the way life is. You become that way. You know, one person said, if you believe that your thoughts originate inside your brain, do you also believe that television shows are made inside your television set? Think about it. Mm-hmm. No. they came from the mind of some person somewhere. The same is true with software. The same is true with books, all that stuff. Right? They came from some mind somewhere. You know, did you ever watch a TV show and get really excited about something? I have. Did you ever hear a song and get really excited about something? To the point you make a decision, you know what I'm going to do from now on? You watch a TV series for, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours, whatever. You go, I'm going to do this, this, and this from now on. And you made that decision because of what you just watched on TV. Ever happened to you? Absolutely. Right. So the thought wasn't yours. It was planted there by the media that was coming at you. That's what Will Rogers meant. All I know is what he in the papers. You know, he was a humorist, right? But the truth behind that is pretty clear. One person said, people are sheep, TV is the shepherd. Another person said, whoever controls the media controls the mind. Right? And there are great leaders throughout time, evil and good, who have understood the importance of propaganda and the importance of, you know, if you want to read some interesting quotes, read what things that Hitler said about the use of the media. You know, he basically said, it doesn't matter if what you're saying is true or not, if you just say it enough times, that's what he said. People will eventually believe it. Right? Doesn't matter. And that's the way it works. So if the Word of God hasn't been holding sway over hundreds and hundreds of years, you can understand why the mind, the Western world, a lot of it, is indifferent to spiritual matters. It's just a bit of a joke. Oh, it doesn't really happen. It doesn't really, you know, actually take place. Look at John chapter 4. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, was very cognizant of spiritual matters. And, you know, if you look at his life, very interesting. And we're going to go to John chapter 4, verse 29. Where am I at here? Let's see. So come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, Master, eat, saying, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And his disciples said, well, did anybody give him something to eat? See, like, his conversations, and you know, you can read them, there's many of them. His conversations were always at a very different level than those around him. They said, you got to eat something. Oh, well, I have meat to eat that you know not of. They had no idea what he was talking about. But you see, where he was thinking in the spiritual realm. And they said, well, did somebody give him something to eat? Something? Did you give him a burger there, John? Did you, Peter? Did you give him something? You know, like it's almost like you can almost see him going, oh, my goodness. Matthew chapter 16, very interesting chapter. Matthew 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Okay. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, well, it's because we haven't taken any bread. He's obviously, he's relating this bread to the bread that we forgot to bring. Okay. Very spiritual thinking. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, oh, you of little faith, what's wrong with you? Why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? He goes, do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took. He reminded them of 2 miracles that had happened. They had forgotten about those things. You see how, you know, his mind is in the spiritual realm and they're thinking physical. We haven't brought bread. Obviously, we're going to get hungry on this trip. So he's talking about this. He goes, no, if we needed bread, don't you guys remember what happened in those cases? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood They held that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Jesus came onto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am, I the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Well, some say that, you know, you're John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "Well, whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." See, he got so excited when Peter was able to understand the spiritual truth of what was going on. He goes, "Okay, now that's the truth. God showed you that." And he got excited about that. See, his mind was in the spiritual. That's where he lived. That's where his conversations were. You don't notice that in his conversations. You notice his conversations always up here, and people are a little bit down here. And so he's trying to always bring people up to that level of spiritual matters. Life is a spiritual matter. It's not physical. They were allowing this physical to supersede that which was spiritual. In verse 20 of the same chapter, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. And Peter took him and said, began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from thee, Lord, this shall not happen unto thee. But he turned unto him and said, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." See, he confronted him on it. He goes, "You're not thinking spiritual thoughts, savors thinking. You're not thinking the things of God. You're thinking the things of men, physical thoughts. You're just concerned and all emotional that I'm going to have to die. Well, the Word of God says I'm going to die, so why don't you believe that instead?" Right? He confronted him. It's interesting, right? Where does our mind go? Does our mind go much easier to the physical realm, or are we cognizant of spiritual matters and the spiritual realities that surround us in everything we do each day, the things that are going on? Are we tapped in to hear from God as we need to be? To be cognizant of spiritual realities that are going on. Jesus Christ always. Look at Acts chapter 1. There's many of these, but we'll just look at one more. The Lord's conversations are great. Acts 1:4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Well, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" The physical kingdom to Israel. Mm-hmm. "And he said, I've tried for..." No, he said. "And he said unto them, It is not for..." He's very loving. "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power." And he tells them about the coming of Holy Spirit. Right. Yet their mind is, well, are we getting the kingdom now? Right. Again, he raises them up. He's always saying, look, this is what's going on. Try to pay attention to what's going on lovingly. John chapter 6. Back to John chapter 6. The Word of God is what combats indifference to spiritual matters and spiritual ignorance. It's the Word of God that does that. In John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." Words, at first glance, the words of God's words are just words, are they not? And just, you read the English written on a piece of paper and you go, these are words. Not unlike other words possibly you might have read somewhere else. They're just words, are they not? Yet, there's a huge difference behind the origin of these words and the origin of other words that man speaks. And that's the key difference. Who's behind these words? God, as we know, is the author of these words. So all the words that you're going to get from the Word of God are spiritually minded. They come from this mind of the Spirit. They come from God. God is the author. As such, the thoughts in the Word of God originate from the mind of God. And as such, they are original, right? Safe. They're original. They're safe. They're unadulterated, without evil motive, targeted to deliver, inspire, and seed hope in the mind of man. Those are the words of God. That's what they're designed to do. And I don't know how God accomplishes that. I honestly have no idea how he did that. But you can be sitting somewhere and you hear a scripture, and boy, you just go, wow, that's just what I needed to hear. I've never said that about Shakespeare, okay? Or anybody else. Right? But with God's words, you go, that's just what I needed to hear. It's the Word of God that took us from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. How'd that happen? I don't know. But they're God's words. Jesus, their word, their spirit, and their life. And it's the Word of God that combats the ignorance of spiritual matters and being indifferent to spiritual matters. In Psalm 107, I don't know how he does it, but I'm sure glad he does it. Who would like to read? You want Jane? So you want to read the first five verses, and Patrick read the next five verses, Grace the next five verses, and Liam the next five verses. I want to read 20 verses. Hold on. Nice and loud.
Oh, give thanks. Oh, I'm reading ESV. I'll read KJV. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the land, the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul, and filled the hungry, and with goodness. Such as sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron.
Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
And we use that verse all the time, right? Talking about the delivering word. But look at the context of it. Here, you know, we just read they were in a bad state. They rebelled against the words of God. And what happened? It went right down. And then they decided, well, maybe that was a bad idea. And then they went back to him and he heard them. And then he sent his word, and this time they were delivered. And see, it was the word of God. It was the word of God that held sway in the situation. As soon as you rebel against it, what happens? And this is true for all men. You want to see things go down? Well, rebel against the word of God. You want to see blessing and deliverance? Well, accept the words of God. You see how the word of God is a spiritual, I mean, I know it's physical, we read it, but behind it is the Spirit of God. God is the one who authored this, so when you accept it or reject it, you get the results in our lives, just like they did. In Psalm 119, while we're in Psalms, this is a great verse to read. Psalm 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word is a light, it's a lamp onto our path. It's what shows us where to go. How does it do that? Well, God is the author. God is behind that word. So you go to that word, you know, and that doesn't, you know, written word, revelation, all that, the words from God, light to our path. It leads us, shows us a lamp. It lightens our way. John 1. John chapter 1. It's the word that every man must reckon with in their lives, whether they want to or not. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came to be for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And every man and woman must reckon with the word of God at some point in their life. That's the way it is. Whether they do it now when they're alive, or later at the resurrection, they're going to reckon with the word of God. There's no question behind that, right? It says the word is settled in heaven. It says the scripture cannot be broken. It says no jot or tittle to be diminished until it is all fulfilled. You know, whether, and the different, you know, here's the interesting thing. Whether you or I believe it doesn't make any difference, right? You know, you tell that to people when you witness them. So you know Jesus Christ is coming back, and they go, so I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. He's still coming back. I don't care if you believe it or not. It's still going to happen. Everybody, and he is the written word. He's the living word, sorry. He's the living word, and he's coming back. And every man, woman, child is going to have to reckon with the word of God. It's the only thing that can bring people out of the stupor of the physical and bring them into the realm of the spiritual is the word of God. It's what gives us an understanding of spiritual matters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is it. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, word pneumaticos, now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Okay? So, God, by revelation to the Apostle Paul, has him write this. God realizes that there are people in Corinth that are ignorant of spiritual things. So what was his solution? He sent them words. He sent them an epistle. He said, okay, you read this now, you read this, and believe it, and you're not going to be ignorant of spiritual matters anymore. It's the Word of God that brings us out of ignorance of spiritual matters. So if I want to, not be indifferent to spiritual matters, not freak out if I hear that an angel's involved, or, accept some of the things of the Word of God. I need to hear God's Word more. I need to put this thing more in my mind than I do the newspapers, the TV, the songs, the videos, the movies. I need to have more of this dominate my thinking if I'm not going to be ignorant of spiritual matters or indifferent. Anybody ever tell you they got healed miraculously and you don't believe them? Your first thought is to think, that couldn't happen. Well, why would you ever think that? But you can, can't you? Never someone tell you? They go, well, it was probably something else. Well, why would you think that when we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, ought to know better? Right? The spiritual realm is what is behind everything, and we shouldn't ever question that. We should say, well, that's the way. See, you should get to the point where you think, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. And then you're not surprised. But that's just the way it's supposed to be. Well, the angel's involved. Yeah, of course the angel's involved. Well, if an angel's involved, we can't say no to you taking your daughter. Go ahead, go. That's the way it's supposed to be. In Mark chapter 3, a few more verses. Mark 3. See, the thing is, the Word of God very often contradicts the senses. And that's maybe why some people have trouble believing. Well, maybe it's the senses that are messed up. And we ought to bring those in harmony to what the Word of God says. You know this verse, Mark 3:5. It says, "And when he had looked up round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and his hand was restored whole as the other." It's just one example. You know, there's hundreds of those. You know, it contradicts the withered hand. Do not stretch forth, do they? The Word of God says they do. Right? Dead people do not come back to life, do they? No. But the Word of God says they do. They can. Right? Fevers don't just leave human bodies, do they? But the Word of God says they do. You know, we have a choice in all of these. Which way am I going to go? Right? Shadows on sundials don't go backwards. But when the Word of God says it will, it did. There is no heaven. The Word of God says there is. They say Jesus didn't get up. The Word of God says he did. You can go down the list. You can make your own list of these things, right? Which way am I going to go? Am I going to go with what they say? Or are we going to go with what the Word of God says? Even though it may and many times contradict what you hold to be true by the five senses. Angels don't get involved in picking wives. Well, the Word of God needed it in that situation, and that's exactly what happened. And no one even questioned it. Right? No one even questioned it. In Hebrews 4, are good things to think about the next time you don't feel like reading your Bible. Don't feel like looking at it or thinking about it. This is a great verse. You guys know it all. Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." How do you possibly divide soul and spirit? How are you going to do that? You think IBM or these big companies, Amazon or Sony, can do that kind of thing? Let's take it into our labs and divide. No. What does divide it? The Word of God. The Word of God has a result. It has results. Let's keep it. "And of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Did you ever hear the Word of God spoken and you get convicted about something? Oh yeah, I will raise my hand high on that one. You hear the word and you go, "Dang it, I knew I was thinking wrong in that area." Or you hear the Word of God and you go, "Wow, that's fantastic." You get really excited. Right? or whatever, whatever it is, it can. It's the one that it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's what brings that stuff up, for better or worse, and allows us to move our mind into where God would have us be thinking. So when you hear someone say, "You know what? I just got cured of that disease, that evil disease," you say, "Well, that's fantastic. That's what's supposed to happen. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's where your mind is." I'm going to close in John 17. Wonderful prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee. I mean, the whole prayer is worth reading, but we'll just read a couple of verses. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. He said one of the great works was he gave them the words that God gave him. His job was to give the words to them that God had given him. And in verse 14, I have given them thy word. Look at the result. And the world hath hated them. Of course. It's opposite to what the devil would have you do. When I was talking to Emma on the phone, and she said, "Well, why has all this happened over the years? You know, and why do these Bibles have these problems in them?" Well, you know, as soon as the word was given, the adversary got involved to corrupt it as soon as possible. Isn't that what the sower and the seed parable teaches us? As soon as it gets involved, let's corrupt it, let's water it down, let's make it, let's change it, let's modify it. And so over the years, that's exactly what's happened. Right? You know, he said, I gave them the word, and the world hated them. The world hates the word of God. So therefore, everything you listen to and, you know, think about and are fed by, we have to be very careful, because behind it is a hate for the word of God. So what kind of movies are men who hate the word of God going to make? What kind of songs are they going to write? What kind of videos are they going to produce? What kind of, you know, and so on, novels they're going to write, and all this goes on. And if I'm going to feed on those, guess what's going to happen, right? Unless contrary to what Will Rogers said, right? Or somebody else said. Everything I think is original. No. Everything you think either came from the spiritual realm, or it came from the other realm. Nothing new under the sun, is there? I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You and I are not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. How? How do you set them apart from that world? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's what sets you apart from the world. It puts you right aside and said, you're mine, you're God's, because you believe the word of God. It's the word of God that helps us not to be indifferent or ignorant of spiritual matters. And that is where real life is lived. It's in the spiritual realm where the word of God reigns and has full authority. So we shouldn't be indifferent or ignorant of spiritual matters. And it's the word of God that can help us not to be that way.
That's great stuff, bro.